You're listening to Relationship CPR, Raw and Uncut, with your host, Leo Garrett.
Yes.
It's about to go, down, right here on WTLC Talk Radio.
Yo, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your boy, Leo Garrett. Man, I need to get a mic check, see if a girl, Jay, can hear me. We've been having some technical difficulties the whole nine. Okay, Jay, say she can hear me. Yo, man, your boy, Leo, man, I have had a rough couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? But tonight, man, I got something special for you guys, man. We're going to talk about time management. What most people don't realize that relationships, man, you got to manage your time. And see, what most people don't realize that there are three types of time in a relationship. Okay, man, I swear, it sounds like I am talking to myself down in this joint tonight, man. Let me just tell y'all about your boy Leo's couple of weeks, man. First, I had one of my uncles. My uncle passed, you know. I mean, he was 78. You know, his kids grown, grandkids grown. So, you know, you can't kind of cry. You know, he was 78. He had a good run, man, you know. And, you know, I think just I kind of take death differently than some of the rest of the folks in my family. You know, I'm like, he done got sick. You know, he in a better place, man. He hanging out with the ancestors right now, just kicking it. You know, riding his spirit horse and doing his thing and catching up with all the old folks. So, but, you know, some of my relatives, man, you know, they like have a hissy fit. I'm like, come on, he's 78, okay? He done had a good run, man. It's time to, you know, when the spirit horse come, man, it don't matter what you're doing, it's time to ride out, it's time to ride out. So that's how I look at it, you know what I'm saying? But also, we have some issues, and, you know, I'm just gonna throw this out there, man. Hey, man, if you're out there listening, you know what I'm saying? Man, make sure you take care of your death business, okay? Man, my uncle died. He didn't have no insurance. So, of course, the family's scrambling at the last minute. You know, nobody's prepared. You know, come on, man. Relatives knew he was sick for a minute. You know what I'm saying? So this kind of stuff should be taken care of. But I'm just saying, man, if you're out there listening and you got a family, you know, wife, kids, husband, kids, grandkids, whatever. Man, make sure you take care of the responsibility of having life insurance, okay? Now, if you don't know much about Leo Garrett, okay, I'm going to tell you guys, one thing I do know is about insurance. When I was young, I was actually one of the youngest licensed insurance agents in the state of Georgia, like 20-something years ago. I actually had a full insurance and securities license at 20 years old. You know, the only problem I ran into is that black folks wouldn't listen to me because they thought I was too young and I didn't know shit, but I still had the license. So I learned how insurance worked by working with, you know, big corporate, white corporate America, and I learned how insurance really works. And I'm going to tell you guys something on the up and up. This is how white people increase their wealth over black people exponentially, because white people spend a ton of money for life insurance. When white people die, they leaving their kids $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million. Black folks die, don't leave nobody shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody scrambling, trying to raise up $7,000 to bury somebody. You had your whole damn life to take care of that, okay? So I'm saying, if you're out there, you're listening, man, get your life insurance straight. Make sure you leave your relatives some, and don't leave everybody scrambling trying to figure out how they're going to cremate your ass when you die. Now, the bad news is that we had two deaths in our family within 3 weeks. Okay, you know, we just buried my uncle on Saturday, and lo and behold, you know, when our cousins passed Friday. This cat was 40 years old. You know what I'm saying? You know, he had complications from dialysis, but, you know, it was only him and his brother left. But, you know, he actually, you know, took care of his burial business. And, you know, but because his brother's, like, lost, because people don't want to talk about death. They don't want to talk about how they want to be put away. I'm telling you something, man. If you out there, you listening, man, that's a conversation you need to start having. Because, hey, you never know where the spirit horse is going to show up, yo. And when he shows up, it's not no negotiating. So you need to make sure that you've talked with your wife, your husband, you made a will. You know what I'm saying? Don't be like these rich people after your ass die, everybody fighting over money because, you know, I mean, you know, there's some dumb shit with the legal system. If you leave a legal will, your family after you die can start suing each other to contest the will that you left. And the thing is, the only people getting paid are the damn lawyers because all the money's tied up in courts and shit because everybody's suing each other. That's just outrageous, man. You know what? Handle your death business, man. Do it now before it's too late. You know, if you got multiple kids, you need to make sure that in your will, you break down your life insurance. How much goes where? Who gets what? All your assets, all your stuff, man. Also, I'm going to tell you guys another point, another key thing I learned when I was very young. When it comes to life insurance, I don't care what nobody tells you, buy term life insurance, okay? Simple thing, black people have been so caught up of being so bullshit, cash value, whole life insurance, okay, which is a straight ripoff. Because some idiot agent tells you, oh, well, you know, if you buy this policy, you know, you can build cash value. But what they don't tell you is that the cash value accumulate at 0.03 to 0.05% a damn year, meaning that it's not going to have $500 in it until you done had the shit for 10 years. So Google term life insurance, okay? And the difference is this. If you're 25 years old and you buy, let's say your budget for insurance is $25 a month. Well, if you buy cash value whole life insurance, even friends that are insurance agents would try to sell you this bullshit. They think you don't know. I had a friend that the dude knew I was an insurance agent back in the day. He knew that I know insurance, and I told this clown that I wanted term insurance. Why this dumbass wrote me up a cash value policy? Like three of them. And then when I got them, I called them back. I said, dude, I told you term. Oh, my bad. Because agents get paid more money if they write you up on whole life insurance. All of them do it. State Farm, Allstate, all the big boys. Because, see, if you got a $25 budget a month for insurance, if you bought whole life cash value insurance, you're only going to get about $10,000 worth of coverage. Okay, whereas if you bought term insurance, you get like $250,000 worth of coverage, and that's for you and your spouse. Okay, term insurance is cheaper, and it's for like a term period, you know, 20-year, 10-year, 15-year. Okay, you got a $200,000 policy. That means at the end of that 10-year, 15-year, or 20-year policy, you have to renew it. Okay, it doesn't build any cash value. So they don't sell you on that bullshit. I'm just saying. I'd rather die and leave somebody, my family, $200,000-$300,000 than leave a $10,000 and hope that 20 years from now I might be able to pull $300 out of a damn policy. So I'm telling y'all, write that down. Buy term insurance. Do not buy whole life or cash value insurance. Trust me, I used to be an insurance agent. I know how that shit works. So take it for what it is, but make sure your death situation is intact, that you talk to your spouse, your kids, whatever, that you explicitly, to the very last detail, have told them what you want your final wishes to be. That way, if you got butthole kids that can't get along, and you got one person that's in charge, but you got two others that want to tell the other person what to do, your wishes will be taken care of and you'll be put away the way you think you should be. Now, me personally, I'm just going to throw this out here. This is just my own personal opinion, okay? I'm all for cremation because it makes no damn sense to spend $9,000 to $14,000 to put somebody in the damn ground. That's just dumb. But everybody has their own beliefs. And I think I finally just got my link text to me from my great engineer Jade, whose phone is on the brink. Jade's phone, y'all. I'm gonna throw my girl Jade under the bus real quick. Jade's phone has went into self-containment mode, you know, just kind of doing what it want to do and, you know, not getting taxes for 2 or 3 weeks. Jade, you need to get that fixed, okay? I should have had this doggone thing, this doggone text link like 4 hours ago. Now I got to text it to everybody so everybody can get on board with the show tonight, which, by the way, I'm supposed to be talking about time management, relationship time management. But since I've had 2 deaths in the family in the last couple of weeks, I figured I might as well throw that out there and, you know, let you guys know, man, get your death issues in check, okay? Make sure you appoint an executor to be in charge of making sure your ass is put away the correct way, okay? The way that you want to be, and don't have your family fighting over money and clowning, and make sure you got adequate life insurance, please. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when white people die, they leave their kids $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million, $5 million worth of life insurance, okay? Black people, stop thinking you don't owe nobody nothing. That's the problem with our folks. Well, if I die, I'm dead. I don't care. I don't care how they put me away. You know what I'm saying? If you got relatives that think like that, then what you need to do is get their damn Social Security number and their birthday and put a policy on them yourself. Whether they got insurance or not, you still need to do that yourself, because there's nothing more embarrassing and chaotic than somebody damn die and everybody figure out, oh, they ain't got no life insurance, and then all the family members looking at each other all damn crazy. So I'm just saying, man, handle your damn business, your life business and your death business, okay? Also, while I'm at it, I might well throw this in there too. Keep in touch with your family members, man. Man, I had to scramble and go find some of my long-lost relatives, you know, that was good friends with my uncles, real tight. And family, man, family is family, man. But, man, because of all this technology and all this bullshit, we done drifted away from really being family. We done drifted away from family reunions, from keeping in touch with your 10th cousins and your 3rd cousins and shit like that, because everybody got issues, everybody moved away, and the old folks not talking to each other, the young generation don't know each other, and then you end up marrying your own damn cousin down the road because can't nobody organize a damn family reunion so everybody know who each other is. So, you know, hey, I just had to throw that out there real quick. You know what I'm saying? So, Jay, I'm going to text everybody this new link that you just sent me. So give me a quick commercial so I can try to get my texting on. All right, we got a question. Donna, I hope I said that right. Donna asked, but don't you have to have that signature in order to get life insurance on them? No, you don't. Only thing you need is their damn name and their Social Security number. You don't really have to have their signature because you are the owner of the policy. You know what I'm saying? But then again, in some cases, you may or you may not. You might want to check with the agent, but if you do, just give their ass to sign it, okay? But the thing is, man, there's nothing more embarrassing and more horrendous than somebody living 70-some damn years and they've been sick for 10 and the damn relatives ain't put no insurance on them and everybody looking crazy. I know if they're a minor, you don't have to have that signature. I think up to like 21, You don't have to have their signature, but in some cases, depending on the agent or whatever, like if you did it online, you know what I'm saying? Shit, just sign it yourself. Don't say I told you. I told you that. But because you're paying for it, you're the owner of the policy. So I don't really think you have to have their signatures. But when the policy comes, like if you order it online, if you go online to a website and you get insurance on the relative, okay, either you can sign it online, which of course is print, or they'll send you the policy and then, hey, you can get it closer to their signature. You can get it. Then you sign it off. But you're going to be the owner of the policy. So whoever pays the policy is the owner of the policy, just like with your partner, like with your spouse, and on your kids. I know with insurance on your spouse, I'm not sure if the spouse actually have to sign it. I'm not sure. Or you can sign it for them. But like with relatives, man, shit, you better sign it yourself and keep it moving. They ass die. I don't think nobody, they can't get a signature from a dead person to match it. So it is what it is. They just looking for the policy owner. I mean, just don't make their signature and your signature look the same. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, get insurance on your folks, man. Old folks, young folks, kids. You got some of them old hoodlum ass nieces and nephews. You know, these young folks that want to keep it real. Well, y'all, keep it real and put a $300,000 policy on their ass. Because you know they're not, they haven't put any insurance on themselves. You know, these young folks out here popping babies left and right. Hey, they want to be thugs, let them thug it on out. You know, like I told my nephew, I said, yo, I'm going to put $500,000 on you. Get out here, act a fool you want to. I'll be crying to that damn chick come. You know what I'm saying? $500,000. Hey, you're out here doing dumb shit. You get killed. That's on you. Like I said, I'll be crying to the chick come. You know what I'm saying? So, anywho, Donna, I hope I answered that question for you. But truth be told, it's not like the old days back in the day where, like, some insurance agent hand-delivered the policy to you and all that stuff, you know, with internet and all that shit. They just going to take the information. They're going to send you a policy, say, hey, sign it, and send it back or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because actually, hell, I have some policies. Come to think of, you know what, I actually have some policies on my family members. No, I didn't. They didn't have to sign because I was the owner of the policy. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, I did them online, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000. You know, especially with young people. Hey, put $500,000 on their ass. It's only gonna cost you $15 a month. They fool around out here being thugs and trying to keep it real, get their ass killed. Hey, I love them. But I'm be crying to the chick come. Don't nothing stop paying like a $300,000 check. Shit, keep it real. Yeah, sometimes I might want to make you want to snuff some of them off yourself. So, anywho, yo, man, I'm having fun. This is your boy Leo Garrett, man. I am ripping. This is my show, Relationship CPR. So, with that being said, Jane, I'm going to take a quick break. Give me a commercial, then when I come back, we're going to get into some relationship stuff. So I hope I helped somebody out there and got the light bulb lit up, you know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to talk about death until it happens, and then when it does happen, everybody's standing around looking crazy when you got to scrap up some money to bury somebody because they weren't responsible enough themselves to insure their own ass. Makes no damn sense at all. But, hey. That's how we think, man. We got to get away from all that nonsense. That's why the wealth gap between blacks and whites is so damn big. Because white people, when they die, they leave their kids big-ass insurance policies. Black people, well, I got enough to get buried. What the hell? You ain't leaving nobody nothing. That's not benefiting the rest of the family. You got enough to get buried. Get ass a pompous grave, cremated for $800 till they left enough. Just damn get buried, cremate their ass, put them in a roasting pot, and take them down to the river and dump their ass in there. I'm just saying, man. So, anywho, give me a break, Jay. Shoot me off with a commercial so I can text a few people and get on board. Peace.
Why would you cheat on me?
Look, I know you're mad, but do you really want to know why? I have 1,001 reasons.
Ladies, it's finally here. The book that tells you everything you need to know. 1,001 Reasons I Cheated on You. Written by acclaimed author Robert Ford. Amazon rates it a perfect 5 out of 5 stars. It's an insightful look into the reasons why men stray straight from the source. This informative book will help women recognize the signs of infidelity and help men to keep their game tight. 1,001 Reasons I Cheated on You. Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you looking to brand your business? Let WTLC Talk Radio market your business and product to help you get the exposure you need. For more information, call 415-496-5233. That's 415-496-5233. What are you waiting for? Get the exposure you deserve by allowing us to get your business information out to our listeners. Let us help you by advertising your business on WTLC Talk Radio. Call 415-496-5233. 5233 and have your commercial aired on WTLC Talk Radio, Baltimore's hottest online radio station.
Welcome back. This is your boy Leo Garrett, man, sounding off. Man, I'm just feeling so, I don't know, I'm just feeling kind of out of it today, like I just did something wrong or something. So, anyway, man, I hope somebody's out there listening because I don't know, I didn't communicate properly with all my people. So, and it's too late for me to do it now because I'm in the middle of the show. So, hopefully, I did send everybody a last-minute text. Because, A, I just got from my daughter's school's playoff game. And, you know, champion Chargers, go champion. They all undefeated, the boys and the girls. So we're in the third round of the playoffs. And so we're going to see what's going to happen next week. Well, Saturday. Saturday we play some of those ranked teams. So we're going to see what's going to happen Saturday. So, anyway, this is my second weekend having to go to the funeral. You know, my uncle last week, cousin this week. So, you know, man, you know, when someone dies, you know what? You're kind of sad, but it kind of makes you appreciate being alive. You know what I'm saying? You know, when someone down there older, you know, you kind of like just chalk it up and say, hey, man, they had a good run. Okay, you know, the kid's grown. The grandkid's grown. I mean, hell, what else can you ask for? When someone died like my cousin, you know, 40 years old, no kids. You know, he had some complications from, you know, dialysis. You know what I'm saying? He had got some type of viral infection in his blood. And my man is gone. He's gone. You know, he don't have a son, a daughter, no kids. He didn't leave his stamp on the world. His genes are gone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's nobody else to carry on his last name. His, you know, hey, man, everybody chooses a different path in life. Like, I have some friends that, like, they got fixed early. Don't have no kids, don't want kids and all that. You know, and, you know, to each his own, man. But, fuck, man, I just don't see living on this planet and dying and not leaving a genetic footprint, not leaving a Leo Garrett genetic footprint to carry on what I learned and what I shared and what I taught. I mean, I'm leaving a footprint with all my listeners right now and every week. But, you know, it's not like, you know, like my family, like my kids. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm building businesses and stuff for them. So, you know, I pass on and catch the spirit horse and ride with the ancestors. I left my mark on the world. You know, I don't know. Some people just, hey, some people don't want that. But I just, hey, your life is not your life. Your life belongs to a whole lot of people and a whole lot of bits and seconds and minutes and memories and all of that stuff. That's what your life is at the end. Is your life not just belong to you. Your life belongs to a whole lot of people, a whole lot of friends, a whole lot of acquaintances, a whole lot of family, your kids, your nieces, your nephews. Your life belongs to a lot of people. It's not just yours. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody has a small bit of your life, a piece of your life, a memory that you and them share. That's your life at the end. Everybody has a piece of it. You know what I'm saying? So, anywho, I'm trying to get off of this death bandwagon, but, you know, I kind of feel good sharing this type of information with people because people don't talk about it. You know, you ever try to go to some of the older people and talk about death and insurance and burials? And, I don't want to talk about that. Well, hell, your ass going to die. Everybody going to die at some point. You need to have your business taken care of, man. You know, have your folks insured and all that good stuff. And, you know, even if you don't have, like, some big old $300,000-$400,000 policy, man, think about the next generation. You know, leave something outside of some damn bills and folks scrambling saying, oh, how are we going to bury this fool because he ain't no damn insurance? I'm just saying, man, I'm just throwing it out there. So, anywho, man, I'm going to get to my subject now, which I wanted to talk about relationship time management, okay? Now, here's the biggest myth about relationships. And, damn, I just had a brain freeze. Let's see. I want to word this the right way. The biggest myth about relationships is, listen closely to this one right here, is that just because we're married, we're shacking up, or we're engaged, or what's the other word? Engaged, you my fiance. The biggest myth is, I don't want to spend all my goddamn time with you. I'm just saying, man, why do people think that just because you married somebody, you want to spend all your damn time with them? Hell no. No, man. Hey, realize this. This is the first problem with that equation. There is not one person on the planet, your wife or girlfriend or whatever, no one person can be everything that you need. Okay? Now, the biggest thing is with the ladies, let me see, man. My damn phone still on or what? I can't hear nothing. Is my phone on? Jay, can you? Oh, I see my time. My phone screen is doing something freaky over here, y'all. So the biggest issue is that people think because you're married to somebody, you want to spend all your time with them. Hell no. I want to spend my life with you, but not all my time. Okay? Now, in my book, which in both my books, there is a section, a little chapter called time management, okay? And this is a crucial element in relationships. Okay, time management is broken down into three different times. I did this myself. Listen, y'all, whether y'all want to believe it or not, your boy Leo kind of smart, okay? 26 years in the game, I know a lot of stuff. I crammed a lot of shit in my book, but black folks don't want to read, so maybe I need to start giving them away for free. Then I get some fame and notoriety. Then I can start selling them. Because right now, black folks are frustrating me because don't nobody want to read my book, you know, because I'm not talking about no skanky stuff no negative stuff, no derogatory shit, no negative stuff. It's all positive. You know what I'm saying? But then again, people really don't. You know what? I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm going to jump off track real quick. I'm going to tell you guys something. The truth is, because I've done to a lot of book shows, book signings with like a lot of major people, Kendra Norma Bellamy, friends with her, she's a big Christian writer. I've done book shows with my man Omar Tyrese. Yeah, that dude is cool right there. That dude's good people right there. Omar, if you listening, which I doubt, but anyway, Omar, you good people, man. And what is the crazy lady? Mary, God, what is her name? I can't never get her name right. But she wrote all those Upper Room books. I want to say her name, Mary Monroe. She is hilarious. I've done like two book signings with her. Crazy. But my point is this. People do not want relationship advice. They think they know every damn thing. I'm going to tell you guys something. You would not believe how frustrating it is. And sometimes, I go to book signings and I end up snapping on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Because people would like pick up my book. And in the front of my book, both of my books, I have these little bullets in the front of the book that actually tells you what's in the book. You know what I'm saying? And that people won't stand there and try to read the whole damn book in 2 minutes. So I just say, okay, turn to page 4, and you'll see the bullet that tells you what's in the book. It never seems to amaze me that people will sit there and they'll say, oh, and they'll read it, and then they'll say, oh, I know all that. So, of course, me being an author, just like a music artist, I kind of get teed off. So, like, I'll say, well, let me ask you something. I say, I know all this stuff. And let me ask you something. How long you been married? Well, I ain't married. I said, well, that's why your ass ain't married, because you don't know all that stuff then. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. I got 26 years in the game. Shoot. And then one time I was at this other book sign. I think I told y'all about this one, man. This lady pissed me off so bad. I ended up just snapping on the lady. This lady told me. So she's going down through the book, right, through the bullets. She said, well, I'm thinking about buying this for my daughter. She's getting married. Two. I said, okay. So I said, well, which book are you looking at? Relationship CPR or marriage CPR? I said, because both of them are different. One's for single people, one's for married people. So anyway, inside of both books, I talk about I'm saying this wrong. I say that before people get married, if you know that you're going to get married, at some point you should live together before you get married, okay? Because when you date somebody, you don't really know how damn nasty they are. You don't know their ass don't wash. You don't know they can't damn cook. You don't know they don't damn clean up. You don't know they didn't leave their damn drawers all over the damn house and all that shit. All the stuff that, the real inside of stuff, okay? So I say, and this is what I firmly believe, that you should live together before you get married. And the reason being, this is why a lot of people get married and get divorced in the first 3 years. Because they don't realize that their girlfriend can't damn cook, that she can't do the damn laundry, that the man just step out his damn clothes and leave them everywhere, that he'll slob. They don't realize this because they in love, the sex good, and, he got his plays, I spend the night, and this, that. That's bullshit. You don't figure out what you really get into your ass live together. That way you know if you really want to get married. But no, not this lady. So she looks at me, and she has this little nasty-ass attitude. I like that book till you got down to the part where it said they should live together. I've been married for 30-something years. I don't believe in that. I said, not really now. I said, so why do you not think that's a good idea? Well, I wouldn't want my daughter living with a man before they got married. So I tried to stay calm, so I asked the lady one more time. I said, well, elaborate on why you feel like that. Well, I just don't think that's right. You know, people going to get mad. Then she said some real foul shit like, you know, I think your book, you know, your book is promoting sex before marriage. I said, really, lady? I said, so out of all those other bullets about finances, about support, about education, about time management, so all of those about paying bills. So you saying out of all the stuff that I wrote, you saying that my book is promoting folks sleeping around and all that before they get married. But you skipped over all this other positive shit I wrote in the book. I said, listen, lady, this is real life stuff. I said, so let me ask you something. By this time, I done got heated, right? Because now she assaulting me. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, how long your daughter been dating this dude that she going to marry? She said, about 3 years. So I said, let me ask you something. Do you think she kept her damn knees closed for those 3 years? Then she going to walk her little ass off. I was like, uh-huh, you little helper. Anyway, man, y'all got me going somewhere else. And I'm talking, but I ain't talking about what I need to be talking about. So anyway, man, I'm going to get on my subject. Okay, so time management, okay? Just because I'm married to you, that don't mean I want to spend all my time with you. That means I want to wake up with you. I want to leave, come back, and you're at home. You know, stuff like that. Okay, so now what I did, I broke time management down into three different management times. And believe me, this shit is based off straight up experience, okay? Remember, I got married at 18, okay? So time management broken down into three different sub-time management. That makes any sense, okay? So your first time management is your family time. Okay, everybody needs family time. That's if you got a family, okay, or just you and your girl, you and your wife, or whatever. So you have family time, okay, then you have me time, okay, you got family time, you got me time, okay, damn, where my book at? I forgot the third one. Let me think, y'all. Let's see. Family time. Okay. Me time. And Jay said couple time. Man, ain't no. Oh, hell no. Okay, hold on, Jay. Okay, you got family time, me time, and us time. Okay? Us time. So, okay. Now, let me break all three of these down for y'all real quick, okay? Because a lot of y'all women abuse the damn time management system, okay? I'm just going to throw y'all ass under the bus because y'all do it, y'all abuse it, and then y'all try to make a man feel guilty for wanting to spend some damn me time with his boys, okay? So now, family time, let me break it down for y'all. Family time is any time that me, you, and the kids are together. Whether we're out hanging out, whether we're in the damn house, it don't matter. All of that is family time. All of us in the same car, we're under the same roof. Now, whether we're interacting, whether we're doing anything together, doesn't matter. It's all considered family time. And I'm going to tell you guys why. Now, every married dude got this story right here, okay? What? Where is it? Oh, Lord, Jay. We're going to get to sex, Jay. That's included in the us time, okay? Now, family time. And this is important because you need to build your bonding with your kids, whether y'all just hanging out around the house, watching movies, doing yard work. Anytime you're with your family, in one location, that's family time. Whether y'all sitting around watching movies, dicking off, playing board games, whatever. It's interacting with your family and your kids, okay? Now, you have us time. That is where we have gotten rid of the kids, me and you hanging out, and all of that, okay? Now, this is where the damn abuse come in at right here by y'all women, okay? I'm going to throw this out here. Okay, women, every man got this same story. Your ass is upstairs in one room, the man downstairs in the other room. Now, technically, that's considered family time because we're in the same house. But, women, this is where y'all selfishness and abusiveness come in at. That man can be downstairs all damn day. You won't say one word to him. Don't even bring the dude a bottle of water. Don't text. Don't ask how he's doing. Don't even know the dude alive downstairs. Soon as that dude come upstairs and say, hey, man, hey, baby, I'm about to go run off and do something. First thing come out y'all damn mouth. Why are you leaving? I want to spend some time with you. What? You've been upstairs for 3 damn hours watching TV, ain't paid no attention to me, ain't called, ain't text, ain't came downstairs, give me a hug, bring me a bottle of water, nothing. Soon as the man say he want to leave the house, I want to spend some time with you. See, now, this is where experience come in at. See, within those first, right, or like Jay just said, where you going? I want to go. Get the hell out of here. You ain't going nowhere with me. Now, see, this is where experience come in. See, in those 1 to 3 years that you married, your man, he'll buckle down. You know, he'll punk out. He'll say, okay, babe, you come hang out. You come, you can go. Or, you know, he'll come up there and mosey around you and all that. Or, you know, y'all come up that old, well, I want to spend some time with you. Then he'll stay at home. That's the first 1 to 3 years. Man, years 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20, that man gonna be like, man, here with you. I'm about to go. Bye. Because that's what y'all do, man. Women, you guys are more selfish than y'all will ever acknowledge. Y'all do a lot of selfish shit. Like, okay, I'm gonna give you a good example. This is a good example right here. Yo, man, you can be upstairs on the damn bed watching TV, doing nothing, watching TV. Soon as your man come upstairs with a damn sandwich, you want to jump your ass out of the bed and go nibble on the man's sandwich, okay? Because y'all women believe in that, well, if you got some, I'm entitled to biting and I'm entitled to getting some. But then let the tables turn and your man sit upstairs watching TV. You come upstairs with a sandwich. He get ready to bite your sandwich. You have a damn heart attack. This is my sandwich. This is my sandwich. I didn't make this for you to get none. Man, y'all are selfish. Like how y'all drive y'all man's car, drive all the damn gas out of it, and then bring the shit back on eat. And then get mad when you say, why do you put gas in the car? Y'all selfish, man. Okay? Now, Jay, in the first 1 to 3 years, your man might say, okay, babe, you can go. But see, the whole point is, you've been upstairs for 2 hours doing nothing. Ain't paid the man no attention. Soon as the man say, I want to go somewhere, now either y'all want to go or I want to spend some time with you. And a man knows when y'all say spend some time with him, that just means y'all want him to sit there and watch TV with y'all or y'all going to nag the hell out of the man for a couple hours. So the first 2 or 3 years, your man might break in and say, okay, I'll do it. After that, he goes like, man, hell with that. I'm about to go. Bye. See you later. I'll be back in a couple of hours. Okay? That's just how y'all are. Now, me time. Me time is you go hang out with your friend, meaning your girlfriend, or me go hang out with my boys. Jay said after 20 years, I'm like, all right, see, exactly. Because that's my way. I'd be like, shit, bye, see you. I'm out of here. Let's talk about me time. Me time is you getting out of the house, away from your partner, hanging out with your friend. He hanging out with his friends. You hang out with your friends. People don't realize that that is healthy for a relationship. You cannot smother a grown person. When you smother a grown person, you actually run them away. You see, this is what I was, see, this is what happens when you do a radio show from the house. Your kids just barge in looking for stuff. You know, your wife can call. I'm on the radio. You can't be talking. Bye, get out. There it is right there. you know, your wife calling, texting you, asking you about stuff. Don't walk downstairs and see that you're on the radio or what you're doing. They just send the kids down and interrupt your damn show. But I'm just saying, you know, that is healthy for your relationship. You hanging out with your friends, he hanging out with his friends. Now, see if you're real smart about it. You know, you and your girls go hanging out, your man go hanging out, and then y'all meet back at home, you know, one, two-ish, you know. Y'all have some drinks, y'all do some role playing, and by y'all, the firecrackers popping, everybody wake up, sleep, wake up the next morning, don't remember what happened. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, some me time. But you do have people out there, and if you're in one of these relationships, I advise you to get out. Well, you are married to some possessive, lunatic-ass dude or some over-jealous, lunatic-ass female who don't want you to go nowhere. You their best friend. You their husband, their lover, their friend, their family. You everything. Yo, man, that's not a good situation, okay? I'm just saying. If you married to some crazy, deranged-ass, possessive person that they want to know where you at every minute, but you don't know where they are, yo, pack your bags and pack it up and leave, man, because you're in a dangerous situation, okay? Because, A, if you're looking for me time, you ain't going to never get it because they always with you. You know what I'm saying? You want to go to your mama house, they got to go with you. You want to go see your cousin, they got to go with you, okay? You want to go see your homies, they got to go with you. Ain't nothing worse than some dude that is whipped. Well, he got to drag his damn girl every damn where. Like, what's that damn NBA player? His old pussy. I mean, you know what? I can't say that on the radio. His old pussy ass. What's that dude name? His wife. They was on one of those basketball wise shows. Well, his damn wife rode the damn basketball team bus and shit. Matt Barnes, punk ass. Who the hell? You got your wife bodyguard and you like, oh, little sissy. I'm just saying, man. That's not a good relationship to be in. That is not proper time management. And what's going to happen, you're going to end up going buck wild or end up in a damn graveyard somewhere. So make sure you got the life insurance paid up. You know what I'm saying? That's from earlier in the show. So, anywho, family time, me time, and us time. Us time, now, I'm going to talk about us time because I have a lot of married dudes that text me, email me, because when it comes to us time, you know, the biggest complaint about from married dudes is that their wives don't never want to start anything. What gives you the right to think that your man has been begging you for 15 years? Why can't you initiate something? You know, it's a small percentage of women out here that actually initiate sex. It's a smaller percentage of women that actually initiate date night. And when I say date night, I mean not only initiate date night, but actually arrange where to go, actually pay the damn bill, actually treat your man like you dating him versus us always having this. Men get so frustrated. We're always having to spend damn money all the time. Man, sometimes a brother want to feel like he's wanted, like he's something other than a damn money bag machine for y'all. I'm just saying, ladies, if y'all out there listening, man, take heed to it. That's why the girlfriends be getting on the plate. Because the girlfriend make the man feel special sometimes. Y'all just run the man in the damn dirt. Just drag him through the mud, drag him through the mud. Ain't nothing. Listen up, man. Ain't nothing more frustrating to a married man than your wife complaining about fucking date night and never have a damn plan. Like your wife is like, well, you know, you don't spend no time with me. You know, we need to do date night. And you say, okay, cool, let's do that. Let's do date night. And then date night comes, she looking at you, well, where are we going? You know what I'm saying? And then you walk out the door, and what's the first thing she do? Go jump her ass on the passenger side of the car. Come on, man. Dudes are tired of being taken advantage of. Even your husband, he might not say it, but your boy Leo's saying it for him. The man is first. And y'all women know if y'all abusing the man. You know if you being selfish. You know what I'm saying? How many times have you actually planned a full date with your husband, drove, and paid for the meal, and then came home and broke him off? How many times have y'all done that? Men do that shit all the time. Okay? Men do it all the time. And sometimes men feel like they just being taken advantage of. Yep, even your husband. Even your husband. You know, you sitting there, you like, well, you know, he's okay with everything. No, he's not. He's not okay with that shit. He just ain't saying anything. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got frustrated enough yet. You know what I'm saying? You guys ever heard this story about the old lazy dog, right? Okay? Tell you guys a story about this old lazy dog. You know, I learned this story years ago when I was in network marketing, right? This rich dude used to always tell this story, you know, about how some people are just not motivated to do nothing. So he used his old lazy dog, right? So the story goes like this. There's this big old ass St. Bernard, old lazy ass dog. Only thing he does is sit on the porch. But the dog is so lazy that he's sitting on top of this damn nail, right? So the dog just lay there and moan. I got to throw the sound effects in for y'all, too. You know what I'm saying? So the dog just lay there and moan. So one day, the neighbor comes over. He said, hey, man. You know, he's talking to the dog's owner. He said, hey, man, why this damn dog just sit there and moan all damn day? He said, I hear this damn dog barking and howling all damn night. But he always in the same spot. So the owner said, look, man, he a lazy-ass dog. He actually laying on top of a nail. So the dude said, laying on top of a nail? He said, well, the damn dog just move. And then the owner said, well, that's the whole point. He a lazy-ass dog. So until the nail start hurting enough, he's just going to lay his lazy-ass there on top of the nail and howl. Once the nail start hurting, he'll get his lazy ass up and move. Did y'all catch the story? Translated. When a person gets tired of the same scenarios, the same story, then they'll say something. You know, like women have no problem telling you how to be a man. Women have no problem telling you, well, you need to make more money. Women have no problem telling you, pay the bill, leave the tip. They have no problem with that, okay? But the moment you turn the table around and say, well, why don't you do some of this? Now they got a problem. I'm just saying, man, y'all selfish. Y'all just don't never want to acknowledge it. Like you tell your wife or your girl, well, look, man, why don't you drive to the restaurant? She get an attitude. Like, really? You know, well, you know, it's all about I'm tired, I'm this. Well, if you're tired, why don't we just stay at home? But I want to go out to eat. But you want to go out to eat, but you don't want to drive nor pay. I'm just saying, man. Sometimes in relationships, you will push a person to the brink of breaking. Okay? And then I guess, as the old dude said, when the nail hurt enough, you'll get up off of it. So, I don't know. I hope that helps. About what? No. No, when you get full, neither one of you want to drive, so it's a debate. No, Jay, we're talking about before you leave the house. We're not even talking about getting full hair. We're talking about before leaving the house. Okay? You know how y'all married women leave the house, first thing y'all do, run and jump on the damn passenger side. Okay? Man just got off work. Okay? He ain't even got home, took a good shower. You've been home for 2 hours watching TV, and then as soon as you want to go somewhere, you don't even want to drive. You want to hop on the passenger side. Damn, man. It gets rough out here for married men. Lord knows it does. Like, man, I'm tired as hell for some reason. I don't even know why. I'm tired from all the damn running around this week, driving up and down the highway, behind on my work. You know, I got another new company I'm starting. I got a ton of shit to do. you know, you have so much stuff that you you really just don't want to do it. And then, you know, I got to try to talk to y'all about, you know, life insurance, folks dying, family time, me time, us time. And I got 60 minutes to try to cram all of that into this conversation. I got my kids walking in while I'm on the radio looking for power cords. You know what I'm saying, man? There's stuff going on. So, anywho, man, 60 minutes blows by real fast, y'all. So, next week, hopefully Jay is going to get her her phone fixed. I get the text out to y'all way earlier than I did today. And we're going to have a different conversation next week. I don't know what it's going to be, but hopefully I'm going to have a good rest of the week. And I hope everybody listening have a good rest of the week. And we got basketball tournaments coming up. See my little girl go ball and all that good stuff. So, anywho, this your boy Leo Garrett, man. I'm about to sign off because I'm tired. I'm sleepy. And I'm going to go to bed early tonight and get up early in the morning so I can start this long-ass task list that I have. Because right now, your boy is just feeling tired, okay? So, anywho, this your boy Leo Garrett. This is Relationship CPR Raw and Uncut. I will be back next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m., and we will do this thing again. So, signing off. Peace.
Welcome to my little sanctuary. You've been looking so good all day, and you really got a nigga pretty anxious, baby. Better call your boss, tell him that your daddy's home. Take a couple days off and take it off and leave nothing but your t-shirt and your panties on. Feeling high, but I'm hung real low, looking sorta like a tripod. So power down your cell phone and power up your iPod. Power down your inhibitions and power up your inner freak. Is the only words that you wanna speak. It's about to get real X-rated. Can you handle what I'm about to do? But enough about me, let me think. Should I be worrying about if I can handle you? Damn right I'ma get that thing, and I'ma put my name on it. All night I'ma whip that thing. All state better put a claim on it. I claim my territory. My tongue finna mark you up. You could be my firecracker. My tongue finna spark you up. Get ready for blast off. Waterfall gon' splash, y'all. You might lose around 4 or 5 pounds, so get ready to sweat your
Welcome
ass off.
Welcome to my sexual life, where your body fits my private type of body. You want it, girl, I got it. In my sexual life, can't open the phone, your body to your soul. From the
And when your body gets hot, it'll get you licked up and iced down. Nipples hard as rock, lips as soft as cotton. You the apple of my eye, and I got you spoiled rotten. I'ma give my video camera, let's make a movie, baby. You the star, so as soon as I press record, you got to do me, baby. You can stare all in the mirror, take a peek at how good you looking. I'ma have your body smoking. Take a look at what Lou is cooking. My arm underneath your leg, legs all behind your head is how I got to get you. Right hand, left hand on red in the bed like we've been playing Twister. Now I got you tangled up, and you caught all in my web. Should I let you loose? Nah, I think I'll get the blindfold instead. You better get a couple towels, baby, cause we about to slip and slide. You don't ever need a horse or a saddle. I'ma give you this dick to ride. I'ma grant your every wish and fulfill your fantasy. Ain't nobody else allowed in the sex room. It's only
you. Welcome to my sex room.
From the man down to the girl,
sexual,
it's in the that magic thing.